No, I'm thinking that, you know, I need at least 14 hours to prepare, you know. The Lord says it doesn't take all of that. So we've been going through this journey with Gideon. And I pray that you have heard from the beginning the same words, and they are starting to seep down into your soul. Because we know that every message, we're going to look at the end, because we know that where we're going, right? And Judges chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon." So we're looking at the end, because as much as these messages may challenge us, and we start thinking differently, and we challenge to behave differently, we need to know that no matter what we're going through, God has a plan, a destiny in mind. And this word quietness, I pray that it's really standing out to you. Like, not just silence as no noise around you, but quietness in your heart, quietness in your spirit, that you don't have voices and all of these contradicting and contrary ideals that are contrary to God's word and his promises to you, but your soul and your mind and your spirit are not quiet. You have watched God subdue your enemies, and now all of the confusion and all of the chaos that was in your soul and mind is gone. That we understand as a people that Gideon's journey took Gideon from a place of hiding, only able to behold from a distance the promised land. He and his people planting and working to plant so they can eat what they planted. But we know the Bible says, man, it's a shame for a man to plant and not eat what he planted. Amen. And so it took this journey, took Gideon from not being in the place where he's where God promised for him to be and living the life that God called him to live, and not even being able to reap what he has sown, to where his quietness and his enemies are subdued and not even able to come with their little haughty attitude like, look at you now. His soul is quiet. And now he can tell the devil, you thought you had me. You thought you was going to destroy my legacy. You thought you was going to rule my calling and my life. You thought you were going to take me out. But here I am in the good graces of God, living the life I didn't even know I could live this life. Gideon was content to just try to hide a little bit of wheat, keep what he can, knowing that inside him was burning a totally different life. And it took God's word to come and say, man, it's time for this to turn around. So today, as we have looked, you know, last week was we talked about when practical turns to miraculous. And I pray that blessed y'all. It blesses me every time I go over the reality of God doesn't need me to be. Like, he didn't need Gideon to be this special guy. Gideon was a man that was, he had low self-esteem. His family was poor. He had received the same legacy of poverty for himself and was ready to just live in defeat with his enemies, eating up all his food. And he was just accepted this as his destiny. There's nothing going on. He even felt disconnected from God. And so where he might have felt like the only way that I'm going to be able to deal with the mess and the stress and be able to come out of this place of defeat, I need money. I need to feel better about myself. Maybe I need some more education. Maybe my family needs to be better. Maybe if we lived in New York, we would be better. We would be able to do better things. But God was saying, no, you don't need that. All you need to do is follow me. So he sent a prophet to bring his word. And today's title is, It Doesn't Take All That. Gideon was living in poverty and at the feet of his enemy because he thought it took more than what he had. We look at Judges chapter 7, the example in the story really is in chapter 7, verse 7. We read this, and you should probably notice after we've been reading it several weeks now. It says, And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Now, let's just look at what this means. First of all, we know that the Midianites had more camels. It said the camels were on the land as grasshoppers. So now here you got an enemy that's eating your stuff and you just feel pummeled. You feel overcome. And if you want to just apply a little practicality to this, it could be whatever your temptation is. You just feel like no matter what you do, you just keep falling into the same. You under the pressure of this temptation. You can't. And you know that on the other side of this temptation, God is trying to push you through this temptation into some victory, into a different lifestyle, into a different mindset, into a new peace, a new joy, a new hope for your own life. So you, because you know it's something better for you, it's something different for you. But your enemy got you hedged in. And not so much so that it was just an enemy. He had, it says, as the sand beside the seashore. This is how many camels they had. Couldn't even count how many people, how many Midianites that they were against him. You couldn't even count them. So now here he's looking at, okay, I've accepted this new life. That's what we talked about. I've accepted my new identity. All right, I'm called by God, by his grace in Jesus Christ. I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm reconciled to the Heavenly Father, period. That's all it is to it. And I know that I'm going to have to accept these new relationships. I ain't going to run with these people who don't believe in the victory of God anymore. I'm not going to believe in people who keep talking negative and people who keep accepting defeat and destruction and don't believe that God is enough for us to win. I got to have new relationships, and I have to have a new lifestyle. And this new lifestyle involves me no longer making decisions on my own, no longer running in the traditions of men, no longer following after my daddy and all the ways he did things. But now my new lifestyle is this conversation with God, who gives me wisdom and instruction for my life, because down the road is the quietness I need for my soul. Down the road is the life I really want to live. I'm going to listen to God regardless to how I feel about myself, regardless to who don't like it, and regardless to if it's contrary to popular opinion. I'm getting ready to listen to God. So he does this, but now he accepts all of this, and he goes out and makes the call. Everybody comes up, over 30,000 people to come and fight against this army. Now he's in a whole new thing. And in all practical senses, it looks like, okay, we got over 30,000 people that still might be outnumbered. But God says, but it don't take all that. You got too many people here, and so we're going to have to break this down so that when I give you the victory, note that, when God gives you the victory, none of these guys will be able to say it was because of us. We're going to break this down. You have too much. So, and I want to make it known to you that it doesn't take all of that. The practical sense of that is we think we need to be stronger. We think we need to have a bigger, better, greater, more enhanced, upgraded, whatever that is, we think we need to do. And God is saying, no, it don't take all of that. It just takes you listening to me. Well, what's the scripture to go with that? The scripture is, how about this one? Go to Zechariah 4:6. He says, this is the children of Israel, same situation. Him then, God sends a prophet and said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. This is not getting ready to happen by might or power or some kind of worldly authority. No, I got the spirit. God says, my spirit is going to come and do this thing. Your enemy is going to fall, not by might, not by you upgrading or getting more or having more power, not by the means of men. It's not going to be how you perceive that you're going to win, but it's going to be by my spirit. God's spirit confounds the wisest of men. They'd be looking at you saying, man, where did this come? You're going to be looking at yourself saying, you'd be dancing in the mirror like, I don't know how I got here, but praise Lord. And all you'd be able to tell people, man, I don't know how. I don't even know. I was just talking to somebody. Who is that? Oh, when we went down to the Dare to Share training, I took all these guys to a Dare to Share training. Y'all better watch out because they might be preaching the gospel to y'all today. And the brother that does the Dare to Share training says, Aaron, I've been on drugs. I've been out there. I've been in jail. I don't have no kind of degree or nothing. But I'm in a public school with my own classroom teaching people every day. I don't know how I got here other than I listened to the Lord and he directed my steps. And now I'm somewhere that even the teachers that are around me are trying to figure out, how did you get in here? Isn't that just like God? That's what God wants to do. He wants them to ask you, how did you get here? It was the Lord. It wasn't my degree. As a matter of fact, I got a degree in something that's totally unrelated to what I'm doing right now. I know it's at least two people that he can say that. And the Lord just wanted Gideon to trust him so he could do the same thing. Put him in a place where, man, I can't tell you. All I know is I listened to God. We looked up. We had 300 guys. We was ready and set to go fight, but God had already won the battle. We were just doing the practical things, but then this miraculous power of God showed up. It wasn't by might. It wasn't by power. It was by the Spirit of the Lord. Proverbs 3, y'all know it. Trust in the Lord with, acknowledge him in, and he shall direct your path. Do you know what that word direct means? I'm gonna just tell you, I got it right out the dictionary, the Strong's Concordance. It says, to make right, to make smooth, to make straight, to make straight, to lead direct, to lead straight along, to figuratively, to make it pleasant, to make it prosperous. See, we think that it's just, he gonna direct my path, he'll show me what to do. No, he gonna... It's like, you know, how many of y'all ever been bowling? Anybody in here can bowl over 200? No. Okay, so for the little kids, what do? To make sure you hit something. They put up the bumpers, right? Because the bumpers ultimately make sure that no matter what ball you, how you throw the ball, how it come out, unless you're rolling it the other way, if you roll it down the lane, you're going to hit something. That's what this word direct means. As long as you go down the lane, you're going to hit something. God going to make sure of it. He got these bumpers. If you trust him, no matter how zigzag you feel like you're going, no matter how many times you fall, if you just keep going, he going to direct your path. That's what he's saying. And ultimately, you're going to get down there to where the prize is. That's the most profound thing. It's crazy to think about when you think about it. You say, all I got to do is keep going. The practical thing is just keep going and you'll make sure I get where I need to go. That's exactly what this verse is saying. Isn't that a blessing? That's the grace. That's the grace of God. A fallen world requires more than what's necessary to do what's never enough. We know that people getting rich, killing themselves, working so hard, you got everything, but still not happy. God is saying, no, I'm going to direct you to where you will be living the life that you really want to live. You'll have quietness in your soul. These guys over here, they got rich. They got big houses, plenty of cars. They got vacation homes in Switzerland. They got all of this. They got all of this stuff, but their souls are so noisy. They can't sleep at night. That's not for God's people. So he's saying, trust me. Trust my word. Now, here's the thing I would really want to note. When the man of God, the prophet, the Lord, comes, because that's what it ended up, whatever he saw, whether it was an angel or whatever, at the end of the day, when it was written, it said, and the Lord said. So whether it was a man or not, Gideon connected with, this is God talking to me, and that's all I'm thinking about is God. I don't care what it looked like, man, woman, boy, girl, billboard, bumper sticker, whatever, God's speaking, and I'm locked in. Amen. We need to be looking for God to speak to us. So all God wanted him to do was listen. So he got to the point where all he's doing now is just listening to what God is saying. I think that we as Christians, as believers, make the mistake of thinking that it takes more than that. We think that we need to, because remember, he didn't come to Gideon and say, Gideon, you got a whole lot of issues, man. And I can get you this victory, but you got some stuff you need to fix about your attitude and what's going on in your heart. You know, you still got cussing in your heart and stuff like that. And I saw you yesterday when that dude overstepped you. You ready to slap him. You know, you got violence. So, you know, your destiny is being held up right now by your inability to get everything in your heart clean. He didn't address any of Gideon's personal issues. He just said, Gideon, go. What does the Bible say? Walk in the light as he is in the light, and you will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse you from all sins. What is he saying there? Walk. You just keep going, and I'll clean you up. But you ain't going to get clean just standing here thinking about how dirty you are. You got to walk in the light. What is the light? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And sometimes we think that that's just scripture. The angel of the Lord came to Gideon. He didn't say, all right, Gideon, pull out the scrolls. It was so practical. It was so practical. Turn away from your daddy. Where is that in the scriptures? I love it. I love it. I love it. So we need to be thinking that, you know what? God is a whole lot more practical than me knowing the Bible inside out. God is a whole lot more on my level than I think he is. God could be telling me to do something so simple that can turn into something so powerful. Only way to walk in the light is you got to listen to the voice of the Lord. Sometimes we think, I don't know what God is saying. That's because you're looking for a God to say something that's all divine. You know, you're looking for tongues to come down from heaven and all this other stuff. And I'm telling you, man, sometimes it's as simple as go to bed. Sometimes it's as simple as get up. Not get up and do, just get up out the bed. We can make a relationship with God so complicated that we miss out on the very blessing that comes from the practical things that he's speaking to us. You can't hear him because you're listening for something so complicated. Just like the man that needed healing goes to the prophet. I need to be healed. He said, go wash in the river 7 times. Say the prophet walked away mad. The prophet, the man's servant said, man, if he had told you something grand and spectacular, you would have believed that. But he just saying, go wash in the river. How simple is that? Go do the simple. He'll do the miraculous. Don't this make your soul tingle? I'm fired up here. Maybe it's the chair. I believe it's the Lord, though. So he's saying, listen. Listen, 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 listen. All right. We live by the word of God because we know the scriptures say, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Some of those words are, go to bed. I don't know why that keep coming to my mind. Somebody must be staying up all night. Who is it? Confess your sins later. You can write them down and put them in the offering box. We'll pray for you. Listen to this. This is the word of God, because we know the Bible says, for the word of God is quick. That means life-giving and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is able to help you discern the thoughts and intentions of your own heart. How many of y'all ever question yourself? Did I do the right thing? Did I say that wrong? The Bible says God's word, wipe that away. You'll be clear. Being born again. This is 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Born again by the word of God. Through faith, we are this Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. When the worlds were framed, were there any scriptures? Now, I know some of my buddies, y'all know y'all gonna call me and say, Aaron, it sounds like you downplaying the Bible. No, I'm not downplaying the Bible. I'm upplaying a simple relationship with a living God. There was no scriptures when Adam was walking with God. There were no scriptures. It was just a relationship. Ooh, I can feel the tension on that one, boy. That just sound unorthodox. You talking about a relationship with God. We talking about a relationship with, oh, the Bible. He said, search the scriptures, right? He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have salvation, but you don't. These scriptures are leading you to me, but you won't come. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Notice he said, he doesn't say the sword of the spirit, which is the holy scriptures. You read in Revelation, it says, I have to turn here, I can't remember all that. Revelation 19. Listen to this one. Says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's a person. That's a person. Oh, do we hear the need for understanding the gospel? That the point of the gospel is to reconcile us to a person. The world is broken off its relationship with a person, not religion and not scriptures and not methods and not traditions. With a person we have been separated. It only took Gideon's faith and his obedience to what he heard a person saying, which was the Lord. Can you see yourself just flushing all the traditions out of your mind? All the legalistic things? Because I'm going to ask you this question. Do you feel safer when you hit all the dots? Or do you feel safer because you know Jesus hit them all? That's the difference between a gospel that will get you down the road and connect you to the person that gets you there, and a gospel that's going to keep you right where you at. Your obedience. Now, because we do need to make this distinction now. Your obedience, though it is the path that you're supposed to be on. Obeying the gospel is what the New Testament teaches us. Obeying the voice of the Lord, which is what we need to be doing. But understand that Gideon's obedience to the voice of the Lord is not what got him the victory. It just put him in a place to walk in it. The victory is the Lord's. He gives the victory away. But he gives it to the people that listens to him. It's not going to get you victory just because you're obedient. So it's like this. If the path of your destiny runs along Court Street right in front of us, but you on Greenwood, is the path still there? The path is still there. God is just saying, hey, go to the next corner, turn left, go south a little bit until you see Court Street and turn right and just stay on that road. Because that's where everything you want to experience is. See, so the path and everything in your life that God has preordained for you is already set. He just needs to tell you how to get on that path. So it's not like, oh, yeah, I turned on left and then I got to this one street and I put up a street sign that said Court Street and started ordaining all my blessings in life. I called it out of heaven. You ain't got to call nothing out of heaven. If it's for you, it's already there. So then to what? How do we apply this then? All right. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 3. And this is my final point in this. Colossians chapter 3. You probably heard this because the point of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, because I hope you see in Gideon's journal, there's a template of the gospel that's very practical to see in our lives. Now, here was a man in a land locked up with other people that were all in bondage, all in sin, and as a result of it, they weren't living the lives that they were supposed to be living. He himself voiced it, said, where is God? So he was disconnected too. God graciously sends him somebody to say, hey, man, look, the path is over here. Y'all off track. You're off track, and I'm going to use you. So we know that the point of the gospel is that Christ Jesus died shedding his blood prior to that death for the forgiveness of our sins, thereby closing the breach between us and God, between us who believe that he lived, he died, he was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us. And that one day he will return. This is not just some fairy tale or some do-over of some past sun worship or anything like that. This is not only witnessed by the above 500 witnesses that were there, but he is one of the most notably documented present people in all of the world. Muslims know Jesus exists. So we believe that now we're with him. In him, he's in us, we're one, right? Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Colossians says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now that's practical. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set, that's something you do, set your affections on things above. Now set means, okay, I want you to set your clock, right? Set the temperature on the oven. Set it to 300. Now, you can't set it and then be like, okay, that's hot enough. Turn it down to 250 and we're going to finish cooking these biscuits. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Oh, now that's a little bit of a challenge, isn't it? Here's the challenging question for you. What are your affections set on? Is it set on the glory of your own life, or is it set on the glory of God through your life? He says, if you are who you say you are in Christ, then seek the things which are above. Now that's totally counterculture. I know that is. And so is I ain't praying for you. That's totally countercultural too, right? Isn't it? I ain't praying for you. But you know Jesus said that? He said, Father, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the ones you gave me out of the world. I ain't praying for them. Now, if I said that, they say I was mean and cruel and harsh. Jesus said, it's like, oh, okay, you're not praying for the world. Gideon had to be countercultural. He had to set his affection on things above. God was talking. Now, did it affect things on earth that mattered to him? Yes, it affected his family. It affected his well-being. It affected everything. It affected his heart, his soul, his spirit. But his heart, his soul, his spirit, his life, his well-being, his body, his mind, whatever was affected, it wasn't affected because that's what he had his heart set on. Because we could say, honestly, if he's a man that wanted that stuff, his heart was set on that before God came and spoke to him, right? But it was when he listened to God that what he cared about got affected. And that's how the world is trying to get us to live. No, you live for what matters most to you on the earth. And pray for God to affect that. No, this says you live and you set your affection on things above. And your life, he says, for you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So we can say, wow, so that angel of the Lord, that voice that he received as God, appeared and came and ultimately gave him the glory. Because remember, he said, I'm gonna make it look like you won, Gideon. I'm going to win this battle, but it's going to look like you won. Everybody going to note you. God does share his glory, y'all. Wow. He ain't going to give it. He said, I ain't going to give my glory away, but I'll be there with you in my glory. And, you know, yeah, people will think you did it. Verse 5 says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness means you're just chasing after everything you see everybody else chasing after. You want what they want. So that's how we apply this. We say, wow, I'm thinking about a different life. I'm thinking about being different, and I want God to use me and all of this kind of stuff, but I just felt like it took a whole lot more than what it really takes. It doesn't take all that. And I know that doesn't sound strict and rigid, but I'm going to tell you something. When God speaks, you do need to obey it, or you won't see what he's got for you down the road. You're not going to see it. It's really just that simple. I'll give you one example of what that means. Saul was a man that God had anointed to be king. And he decided he wasn't going to obey God. God was talking to him, and God wasn't telling him to pull out the scrolls. He was telling him very practical things to do, and he turned from the practical things that God was telling him to do, and the glory left him. But guess what? He was still the king for another 40 years, looking the part, acting the part, but he had been fired 40 years earlier before he actually lost his crown. Oh, Lord, deliver me from anything that will keep me looking the part, acting the part, smelling like the part, with a crown on my head, and I ain't nobody's king. You want to just keep going to church another 40 years to find out that, really? Buddy, you blew it 40 years ago. I was trying to tell you. I know that's kind of scary. I know it is. It's jolting. It's riveting. It's challenging. But just remember, all I'm really doing is saying, hey, look, God is telling us, do the practical. Listen to God. Sometimes it's not easy to get up when you need to, or sometimes you just want to stay up longer than you have. Sometimes you don't want to say sorry or forgive me, or sometimes whatever it is. But if we do the practical, God will show up in the miraculous and show us that what you thought it was going to take, it didn't take all of that. It did not take 30,000 people to defeat the Midianites. It only took one man listening to God and it looked like 300 of them won. But really, God had won a long time ago. Amen. Well, let's pray. God, thank you for blessing us and encouraging us. God, we just trust you, Lord. Lord, these are some serious, challenging things. We need your help. I take authority right now over the spirit of fear, condemnation, guilt, shame, resentment. In Jesus' name, I bind you up in the name of Jesus Christ. You are not going to rule over God's people. Ask you, God, that in that same vein, you would release to us the grace to help us to understand what you just said to us and how we walk in it from day to day. It's a lot of distractions for all of us, Lord, and I know starting with me, I have my hands in things that I have to question if that's what you want me doing. So help us all, Lord, to refocus. Hit the reset button for us. Help us start all over. We know you're that gracious that you'll let us start over now so we can just walk in the light and see what you have for us. We give you glory for the victory ahead. We thank you for the victory we live in right now. And we'll be mindful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That do you some good?